give these countries the gold, give them real money. You know, so what do? They sell the gold and get them into debt instruments so they can be forever on the hook. But what we've been seeing with the stock market is we saw it finally break above its May highs. And it's been languishing for a long time, and then it finally broke that. But we're not getting any support from the transports or the utilities. The advanced decline ratio has stalled well below its June 22nd record high, and this tells us basically that there's a lot of stocks that are in trouble. So, as we pointed out time and time again, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is not what you should be looking at when you're looking at the stock market.
It's actually made up of just a few
blue chip
company stocks, and it's only 30. It's not what most people invest in. And, in fact, the average man can't even afford to look at those stocks. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. And the big thing that I think is funny, you know, learning all the symbology that I have from you, I look at these commercials, and we talked about it, but, you know, this was a while ago, but that new company, Lucent Technologies, it's a spinoff of AT&T. All right, well, okay, Lucent Technologies, spinoff of AT&T. Do you really think AT&T is going to survive?
Well, remember AT&T, their big ad campaign a few years ago, One World, One Card, and now it's they've branched off a company called Lucent
Enterprises or Technologies.
Yes, and what is the purpose of Lucent?
Well, Lucent, I don't know what its purpose is.
No, I do. Its purpose is to collect data on everybody and everything. Every transaction in the world is going to be monitored, collected, and databased by Lucent.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. There was a big article in today's paper about exactly that. It was the article discussed it as a marketing tool, okay, and how they could track what people were buying, who was buying, when they were buying, and where they were buying, and how that has been used for a long time, and the technology is getting better, better, better.
Well, that's the exact scenario that I wrote in my book that was published, over 6 years ago. It's in Chapter 1, that they would use this excuse to gather data and create tremendous databases on people and markets and...
And
use it to control those people in those markets.
They were also talking about, in the paper this morning, the article went on to discuss it. It occurs currently in real time, which for those that aren't familiar with that term is as it's going on.
Yes.
Okay, so it's just, it's absolutely amazing the things that are happening right under people's noses, and yet they don't want to accept it. But the bottom line, you know, in due time, we see this market sitting right where it's at. It's pretty much languishing. You know, its direction, it'll be either reconfirmed as bullish, which is doubtful, or it's going to reverse, and it'll be historic when it does reverse. And right now, they're just going to hover for an extended period of time, it appears, in one of the most extreme overvaluations ever in market history. The thing that people need to consider, again, is how many companies go broke, go just cease to exist in a bear market, and in a really bad bear market, you're going to have a lot of companies that go away. I got to be honest, I don't think AT&T is going to be around. I think Lucent Technologies is going to be the successor to that. And, you know, it's just, there's a lot of people out there who are going to hang on to their stocks no matter what. They're going to put them in the blue chips. So if you think about it, the blue chips can't even survive. They need to be basically followed up by New World Order companies.
It doesn't matter what companies, as far as the stock market is concerned. In fact, that's a phony value anyway.
Sure.
A company's value, as far as stock goes, could go to zero, and the company could still be operating and doing very well.
Yes. There's the thing that I find very interesting in the news as of late, and I don't know if you've been picking up on it, is the Federal Reserve has taken a lot of hits publicly. There's a lot of articles in various newspapers that, in essence, are attacking the Fed about its, Fed's huge empire set up years ago is costly and inefficient. Another leak of information has Fed watchers reeling. A lot of attacks on it's about time to get rid of the Federal Reserve, and I find that intriguing, but...
See, I've been doing it for years. Nobody's quoting me.
Well, yeah. But knowing what I know, again, learning from your programs is understanding that the two fundamental aspects that are vying for control here Okay, the Fed is obviously representing one side of that equation.
That's correct.
Backed by the other side, who would much rather see, I think, more along the lines of an internet monetary system and, you know, in essence, the anarchic scenario.
Oh, boy, have I got something for everybody. Everybody listening should run out and buy this. Let me see what month it is. This is, it doesn't say what month. Anyway, it's Wired. The name of the magazine is Wired, W-I-R-E-D. You've got to buy it because there is an interview with Walter Wriston on the future of money. And for those of you who don't know it, he was the most powerful banker in the world. And now he's talking about, he's talking like he's some kind of a cyberpunk. And what he has to say in this article, I've got it right in front of me. And Frank's going to be on here as long as he wants tonight, every Thursday. That's going to be our routine. And if there's time left, I may read you some of the most important parts of this article. If not, then I'll do it tomorrow night. But you've got to read this because it's just it's incredible. As you know, the Fed represents the oligarchy of British Freemasonry and International Zionism partnered up there. Most of the world's finances are controlled from London. Despite what you heard, despite the articles you read, international Zionism, the British oligarchy, control the most of the money in the world through the Bank of England in London, and the Fed is attached solidly to that oligarchy, and they're being severely attacked by what Clinton represents. Clinton does not represent the Bank of England. Clinton represents the French Freemasonry aligned with the Vatican. He was trained by Jesuit priests in his college days. His hero, his mentor, as he called it, was one of the exposers of the non-conspiracy, as everybody says. There is none, but there really is. And he even talked about him speech when he accepted the presidency of the United States when he was sworn in at the White House. And folks, I got to tell you, you better be paying attention to what's happening because it doesn't matter who wins this battle. We are in deep trouble.
We're the
losers, no matter which side of this fight wins. But we can be the winners if we refuse to accept this stuff and refuse to back these people and can somehow come up with another Abe Lincoln from out of the woods somewhere. And I don't see this as a possibility, I got to tell you. Right now, I see a tremendous conflict coming. But anyway, get Wired magazine and read this interview, and it will give you some amazing insight into some of the things that are coming, because this guy is tied to the people who know.
Yeah, and it's been the education for people that pay attention to your programs, that have learned from it. You can see these things unfolding. You can see the infighting that's going on. It's kind of interesting. I came across something else that I find very, very disturbing, and I never really thought about it before. And I don't remember you ever discussing this, and that is Posse Comitatus. Now, I was typing it into my computer so I'd have it so I could print it out whenever I wanted. And as I was going down, I came to cross-references. It's like, cross-references, okay, this is something that ties into Posse Comitatus, whatever. So I looked it up, 18 U.S. Code, Section 1751, Presidential and Presidential Staff, Assassination, Kidnapping, and Assault. And it goes on for three-quarters of a page, and it outlines, you know, what is violation of this particular code, and this is what I find the most disturbing. Assistance may be requested from any federal, state, or local agency, including the Army, Navy, and Air Force, any statute, rule, or regulation to the contrary, notwithstanding. No time limits, no limits on type of assistance, and they go through and they list, if you assault one of the president's or vice president's staff, that is enough for them to enact 18 U.S. Code, Section 1751. And that is, you know, it's almost like they could declare martial law for just about anything.
Yeah, but that's one of the recent laws that have been enacted within the last 6 years in this effort to create this one world government. In fact, I remember I did do a show on that specifically when they made any assault against any politician to an elected office is worse than committing murder against your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is it suspends, you know, it removes any penalties for violation of posse comitatus.
Yeah. Well, you see, they know what's coming.
Sure.
And they're trying to get ready to be able to demonize anybody who takes up arms to restore the republic when they have brought the oppression of the American people to the point where it's inevitable. And then they can stand up and hold up this law and say, you know, these people did this and they are terrorists. And that's the buzzword now, terrorists.
And the thing is that this has got to be, this is the pivotal year, as you've outlined. Clinton, he is using almost every last cent of the Democrats' record $80 million war chest for reelection.
He's a shoo-in. I got to tell you right now, Clinton's going to be reelected.
Sure.
Dole doesn't have a prayer.
I believe that as well. But I got to be honest, I don't see him finishing the term. I think we're going to ultimately end up with Al Gore. And I think that's been the plan from the get-go.
I have no idea. You know, that's... I can't find anything to substantiate that. That's strictly a prediction on your part. But
it is, but it's just a gut feeling that I have watching this situation unfold. And if you've ever read, well, I know you've read his some of his books. I mean, he's worse than Bill Clinton.
Al Gore is an eco-terrorist, enviro-terrorist, whatever you want to call him. And he made no bones about it. He blames all the ills in the entire world on Christians. And he said it with no hesitation that if there were no Christians in the world, it would be a better place.
That's why I say he's worse than Bill Clinton. He's just sitting on the sidelines. You know, Bill Clinton's got enough dirt on him that it wouldn't be problematic to remove him via impeachment or even assassination and blame it on, you know, conveniently militias or something along those lines.
I don't see that coming, and I got to tell you why. Because if it was going to come and the Republicans had any dirt that they could make stick, it would have happened in this election year.
Well, there's, you know,
and if it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen.
It's just, it's very interesting. You know, there's always dirt there in Don Clinton. Not big dirt, but there's always dirt there. It's almost reminiscent of the Richard Nixon scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, late in the game, there was starting to come, you know, things were starting to come out, and the rest of it, he got reelected by a landslide, but then a few months later, he was out.
Yeah, but they, you know, they were bringing impeachment proceedings against Nixon because he had one FBI file on one person. Everybody thinks it was about Watergate. That's not what it was about. They were bringing the impeachment charges against Nixon because he illegally or unlawfully got an FBI file on somebody that he considered to be an enemy, and that really made people angry.
Yeah.
Now, how many FBI files has Clinton?
That's over 100, isn't it?
Well, it's more than that. more like 600 or 700, I think. But
it's pathetic, the support.
And nobody seems to care that this guy is using FBI files and IRS files to try to put dirt on people and destroy people. And it's unlawful. It's unconstitutional. It's illegal. It's all wrong. I know Free, the head of the FBI, had to be involved in it.
Sure.
And he's washing his hands saying, well, I don't know how he could have got it because, you know, it's against FBI policy. I'm going to tell you right now, Free didn't approve it. He never could have got it at all.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Free's a liar.
Sure he is. But he was, you know, I'm sure certain promises were made to him, you know, to take that job. If he did certain things, he could have a very nice cushy job for the rest of his life, be the next J. Edgar Hoover.
Well, he already is the next J. Edgar Hoover.
Don't give him Hoover's dresses. But anyway, yeah, it's just where you can see it, you know, taking the lessons that you've given us, you can see these various factions sniping at each other and setting the stage for conflict, and that where each side has hopes of being the winner.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it's looking like, you know, the time is right now. I mean, it's happening as we speak. You know, these things are going on. I guess that's the only saving grace is that it hasn't occurred, is the fact that they are sniping at each other, jockeying for position. If they were working together, this probably would have happened. The New World Order, I'm sure, would have happened a long time ago.
Yeah. Listen to what Walter Wriston has to say. He was asked, what is the future of money? And here's his answer. The revolution that's waiting in the woods is smart cards. They issued 300,000 during the Olympics in Atlanta. It was the first mass use of smart cards in America. He goes on to talk about how they can have a DNA signature, a digital picture, you know, all kinds of identification and history of the person that uses it. And he calls it literally an electronic purse, a traveler's check that makes exact change.
The military right now, their IDs have the multiple generation barcode.
Uh-huh.
Guys, it's got a soldier's entire history on it, on his ID.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me at all. Okay.
Well, the military system has gone cashless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's direct deposit and it's cards to make purchases.
Well, they've done that a long time ago. I remember going to a boot camp and we didn't use money. We had what's called kits.
Mm-hmm.
And when you went down to the boot camp store, they had a special store for people in boot camp. You couldn't go to the regular base exchange. And, you know, I understand why, because the ordinary people who had been in the service and were not in boot camp needed to be able to shop in comfort and not be invaded by 20,000 basic training guys. But so that we had our own store, you know, and it was just for necessities. And you would go there and, you know, you'd stand at parade rest, and when it came your time, five guys would go in, and you'd have these chits. And every time you spend these chits, it was deducted from the pay you had coming when you left boot camp. And that's, you know, the same basis of a smart card or a debit card, if you will.
It's the indoctrination's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. That's right, because I'm talking 40 years ago, or excuse me, 30 years ago.
Date yourself.
More than 30 years ago. I was 18 years old, and I'm, what, 53 now, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. I don't think we're going to be able to stop it. I just hope that we steer it in the right direction. That's the best I think we can hope for at this point in time. So many people have refused to come together. We still talk to a lot of them. They don't want to leave their phone number. They call up. They don't want to talk on the telephone. It's like, well, if it's gotten that bad, don't you think it's time to do something about it?
Let me tell you something. When Americans have been reduced to that state of cowardice, they are already enslaved, and nobody can save those people.
I agree.
They are putting the chains on their own ankles because they haven't got the guts to stand up and resist and do the things that they need to do to make sure that they don't become slaves.
One of the things that
you would never find any of them behind a microphone like this. You would never find any of them being a guest on this show like you are doing. You would never find any of them standing up and exposing what happened in Waco like Linda Thompson did.
The biggest thing that it sticks in people's minds when you say it in this fashion, there is no I in team.
That's right.
But there is an idiot. There's an awful lot of idiots.
There are two eyes, an idiot.
Oh, that, you know, actually, the word that we usually use is rather risque, so I didn't want to do it on the air. But you pick an appropriate word that has I in it, and it works. But that's, people need to start thinking in teamwork. They start thinking how they can work with others and help others, and that's not happening. People are thinking in a very selfish fashion. And there, as a consequence of that, when the time comes, yeah, they may have gotten themselves protected financially and with food and the rest of it, but how long do they really think they're going to last by themselves? They're not.
Well, of course they're not. They're not going to last at all.
But because they're afraid to talk to anybody, well, he might be a Fed. Well, yeah, he might be. That's why you don't do anything illegal. How many times you beat people over the head or with the microphone, don't do anything illegal?
Yeah. Yeah, the word is coward, actually. There's a criminal investigation going on of me being conducted by the Internal Revenue Service for the years that I have not filed or paid taxes right now. And they're going to many of the people who have purchased books and CAGI memberships and things from us. And they're going to these people with no warrant, no jurisdiction, no lawful right to do so, and asking these people to turn over their records of checks that they have paid to us. And guess what?
They're doing it.
These miserable little cowards who have professed to be supporting what we are doing and who have taken advantage of all of the research and the work that we have done to provide them with that information without even a whimper of protest, without even asking them to prove jurisdiction or to prove that they have a warrant or an entitled to ask them for these things, are just turning them over.
It's not real encouraging, is it, Bill?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter to me. It's no reflection on me because I have the tools to fight this battle. And if I win, they're all going to benefit from it. But they're not going to benefit because they helped. They're going to benefit simply because they were alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought the battle for them.
Well, isn't that always the case? It's one man who makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, I admire your courage. I know you've been through a lot, okay, a bunch. And you still keep going. And if more people would do that and stand up, we wouldn't be in the position we're in.
That's right. But they won't. They roll over just
no, we got
like
all these people are calling us. When's Bill going to be back on shore? When's he going to be back on shore? Wait. You know, it's like these people, it's like get with Bill. Get the satellite. Get the FM transmitter. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we're building a new network, and we're going
to work towards that. Work towards a future where, you know, it's a lot easier to deal with, and more people will hear the message, because we're at a time where everybody needs to be hearing us.
Yeah, in the last week, we have 30 new station affiliates broadcasting this show, and when we get the new transponder, where we'll be on 24 hours a day, they'll be broadcasting our network 24 hours a day. So that's 30 new stations in a week. Can you imagine how successful this is going to be if this kind of trend continues?
Just keep that up, and it'll be a lot better off than what it was.
Oh, yes.
More people will hear it because, you know, the shortwave we know was problematic. They were jamming it. It was obvious that WWCR was working with them, you know, just by the sheer nature of the transmission.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as Tom Valentine's broadcast ended, the signal strength of my broadcast fell by about 20 decibels.
And then the guy right after you
was loud and clear.
Just fine.
Yeah.
You know, so, well, I don't know if you've got any legal recourse. I don't even know if you wish to pursue that. But there's a gentleman who's been calling me. He's wanting to get in touch with you because he thinks he can prove it. He's a broadcast engineer, this and that.
I've called him several times, and either the phone doesn't answer or it's been busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who you're talking about, and I'll keep trying to call him, and eventually maybe I'll get through.
Yeah, because that would be wonderful if you could, you know, do that and take civil action against them and for that, because you have, you know, that's violation of contract. You had an agreement with them.
You better believe it. You see, I never had a contract with WWCR. All of our contractual agreements were verbal, all of them. And they strung me on for 4 years. Anyway,
there's got to be recourse.
Well, maybe there is. If there is, I'll sure take it because I would really love to just hang George McClintock up by his, you know what, because he is the most obnoxious, rudest, most despicable character that I've ever done business with in my entire life. And I am just amazed that, for the sake of the listening audience, I put up with his bullshit for 4 years.
Yeah.
Just blows my mind because I'm not the kind of person that normally would do that.
Anyway, at this stage of the game, the only other advice I can really offer to people is start getting yourself, you know, you should have been in physical condition, but make sure you keep it as best as possible. You know, little tidbits I've been sharing with you, it's unfortunate that we're more than likely going to need those tidbits and just start working towards being able to deal with a harsh physical environment.
Why don't you share some more? I think I'm going to take a break and, you know, go to the little boy's room and maybe go downstairs. And
Bill, I'm kind of shared out right now. I'm not at my home, so I don't have all my notes, etc.
Oh, that's okay. You're going to have to wing it because I'm leaving the microphone right now, and I won't be back for at least 10 minutes.
10 minutes. I don't know. That's really pushing it. I think that's more than just a little. But anyway.
See you in a little bit.
All right. The thing these people need to consider, again, is start with the basics. You want to make sure you have good boots because, like I told you before, you cannot walk on your hands and you cannot crawl on your hands and knees. You do not get very far. Secondly, you got to make sure you have good load-carrying ability. You want to have a good rucksack, backpack, if you're working in teams, if you've got guys that you trust, then you're all working together. You want to make sure you are using the same equipment as much as possible, at least with your load carrying. Because in the event of an emergency, everybody needs to be packing their packs up the same way. You want to look at having all your gear stowed in the same fashion. You want to have your medical kits, your first aid kits in the same spot. So if something happens, you have, you know, your buddy can grab out of yours to take care of you. You also want to look at having appropriate gear weather-wise. You know, everything's going to be different. The environments across the United States are distinctly different. And there's nothing wrong with taking your pack and conforming it to different seasons. That's exactly what I do. It's been summer here, so I've taken all my cold weather gear out of my pack. Now that it's starting to cool off, I'm starting to add it. Because if I can avoid carrying the weight, I'm going to do so. If I have to carry the weight, I'll do so as well. But that's why you need to be in physical condition. You need to have confidence. You need to educate yourself as much as possible to some of the basic, the fundamentals on survival, on building a lean-to, things of this nature. Not panicking in the event you find yourself alone. It's one of the silliest things I've encountered in helping train some soldiers is that they're afraid of the dark. These guys, when they go out on their land nav at night by themselves, they're afraid of the dark. So they tend to follow roads. What are they afraid of? I mean, there's no boogeyman out there. And that is all in the movies. We don't have situations where there's ghosts going to come and snatch you away. So you must make sure that you know, just have the confidence necessary to carry on with your functions. As far as firearms, if possible, I'd like to see people, and this is what I do, run with NATO caliber stuff for ammunition commonality. Try to run with either 5.56, which is also known as the 223, or 7.62x54, which is also known as the 308. The 7.62x39 is the Russian stuff I don't particularly agree with because it has limited capabilities. You want to, again, this is, you know, sometimes it's not possible, but you want to try to have commonality of ammunition. It's real simple, people. You learn what you can. There's plenty of reading material out there where you can learn some of the basics. If you're by yourself, and a lot of people out there, you call me up and you want to know, well, I'm by myself, is there anybody out there, you know, that you know of? And in some cases, I've been able to put you all together with people that are in your area. But a lot of times, it's not possible. What you also want to look at is being able to be self-sufficient. If you can't find anybody you trust, don't worry about it. We've got three of us, and that's all it's going to be. We'll do more with just the limited resources we have than having 20 guys that we don't know well or that don't have half of what we have experience-wise. Don't worry about being by yourself. What you'll do is you will link up when the time comes. You will link up with others of like mind, and everything will work out that way. It'll kind of be, unfortunately, it's going to be Darwinism to the extreme. This is the potential. And the cowards will go quickly. The weak will go quickly. The idiots will go quickly. What will survive are people that can work as a team. That's what we have to do. Bill's taught you over the years now all about how the secret societies are going to do this, how they're going to regain control. And they will regain control. The whole Ordo Ab Kayo will come about due strictly to teamwork. They've learned how to trust each other, and they trust a brother implicitly. It's going to be difficult for us to do because we don't have that centuries of network building, but at some point in time, you're going to have to learn how to deal with it. You're going to definitely have to work as a team. Otherwise, you're just not going to make it. Sounds like you're back, Bill.
I'm back. Were you getting worried?
Not at all. I said I'm just not at my notes, and normally when I get ready for this, I have a lot of fresh material in front of me. I've got wonderful books and guidelines and all these other things, but I'm right now off the top of my head after a long day on the telephone with a lot of people, and I'm just kind of run out of ideas right now.
Are you getting calls from this show and this network?
Yes, sir. Mostly what it is people want to know where you're at.
Really?
Yeah, and so we're trying to tell them because a lot of them weren't able to hear on a regular basis or whatever, so they didn't know where you went, or they caught, so they're listening on satellite, but they didn't catch that it was 2 hours earlier. And that was a big part of the problem with the reduction in broadcast signal is, it was difficult because it would fade in and out.
Yeah.
And it was, even though I have a long antenna out, it was still difficult for me to pick up.
Hmm.
So, it's a lot of people just couldn't hear it. And so we do what we can to get people back in touch and back online. I'm trying to refer as many as possible so they get hooked up with the satellite system. And, we're doing it that way. But as far as fresh calls, we're always getting fresh calls. But they're not, they just tell us they're calling because they're listening to Bill Cooper. Well, obviously, they're picking you up on the satellite because otherwise they can't.
Not just satellite. We have about 600, now 630 low-power FM stations all across the country.
Well, they don't say that. They just, we just know that they're coming from the program.
Yeah.
Obviously picking it up somewhere.
You guys could ask them whether they're listening to satellite or FM.
At this point in time, it'd probably be a good way to do it.
Yeah, since we're just starting the network, it would be a good way to measure our progress.
Mm-hmm. And on the low-power FM, how far does that broadcast?
Well, it depends upon the broadcaster, how high their antenna is, whether they're high on a hill surrounded by a city.
What are they allowed to do? What's the max they're allowed?
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
Isn't there some FCC thing if you cross state lines or something like that?
Well, yeah. They're not allowed to broadcast over a straight state line or over a body of water where a ship can intercept their broadcast. Other than that, if they're broadcasting intrastate, there are no restrictions on their broadcast except that they do not interfere with any other commercial broadcast.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Simple as that.
I thought there was a limit, to the radius and to the power.
Well, the Fed would like you to think that there is, and there is if you're broadcasting interstate commerce, because the FCC was created to regulate interstate commerce over the airwaves. Not to regulate frequencies or all of this other kind of stuff, but to regulate interstate commerce over the airways, because the federal government has no jurisdiction within the states except over interstate commerce. So if you're not doing anything that's involved with interstate commerce and you are practicing what's called intrastate broadcasting, which means within your state, they have no authority or jurisdiction whatsoever, no matter how much they may yell and scream and threaten and all this other kind of stuff. If you understand the law and you have a basis grounded in fact and knowledge, you can successfully wipe these clowns out.
Now, unfortunately, as we outlined earlier, not enough people have that.
Well, they're going to have to learn to do that. I mean, ignorance is no excuse. Never has been and never will be. I mean, if people want to be stupid and stay stupid and claim that that's some kind of a meritorious status, then they're really just walking around with no clothes on. Their ass is showing.
That's a fact.
And what they need to do is get out of that status and become real people.
Well, we do what we can. I know you've done what you can, and it's unfortunate, but there's a lot of people who definitely do not want to get out of that status. It's their comfort zone. It's easy being stupid. That's the bottom line. It's easy being sheeple. And as much as they pretend to care, they obviously don't. And it can be very discouraging at times. And I know why, like I told you before, I know why you get angry at these people.
Oh, yeah. I get people all the time calling me up to, Bill, why don't you do this? Why don't you file suit against this or do that? And it will just help us all. And I say, well, gee, I'm already doing all these other things. Why don't you do it? Click.
Yeah.
Hangs up.
All full of wonderful ideas, but when it's time to step.
Why don't you do it? Oh, click.
There's only two people I've encountered in my goings on with what some call the Patriot community, even though it's not really a community, and that's you in Craig Smith. And you're the only two that have ever stepped up to the pump, not once, not twice, but repeatedly. Everybody else out there falls well short. You know, there's people out there who are well-intentioned, but then they start falling into the eddies and tides that we've just talked about, and they're just going to drown in that, and they're not seeing where the river's going, so the consequence they're going to just basically get wiped out.
Yeah, they get flushed into the back bay, and that's where they stagnate. Speaking of Craig Smith, I got to tell you folks that Craig has taken another big step. He has agreed to finance the costs of this network until we get enough broadcasters to pay for the cost, and he will absorb whatever losses there are as far as that's concerned. And when we get enough broadcasters on this network to be able to bring in some money, all of the money will go back to Craig until he has realized his costs each month, and then whatever is over that will go to the network. You can't ask for a better deal than that, and you can't ask for a better person than Craig Smith.
You know, you really can't. People don't understand, and Craig will never talk about it because he doesn't feel it's the right thing to do, but he's got his problems too. I mean, one of the ways to shut down you and the other things that Craig does is to attack Craig. If they can shut down the money, they figure they can turn you off.
That's right, and they've tried that frequently.
And they're doing it all the time. They're always, always harassing him, looking for a way in. You know, always ticking away, trying to find, you know, chinking at the armor, so to speak. One of the things I did, I did a more mainstream broadcast. I did the interviewee talking about money, the Federal Reserve, and things of this nature, at a station in Texas. And I did it from Craig's office, and I was sitting at his desk. He has this vision for Swiss America, you know, very nicely framed. And I was reading that, and it was just like, whoa, this is powerful. But he doesn't share that with somebody. And I can't. It's like 14 steps. He talks about, you know, for something you really need to have a vision, and it starts with a biblical quote. You ought to have him share that with you sometime if you think about it. It's very poignant. It's very stirring.
Well, I will, because I've been in his office countless times and have never seen that.
It's right in the corner of his desk against the wall. If you think about it, you know, ask him about it. Because he won't share that with people. See, he doesn't go and wear these things on his sleeve. He just tries to let...
he doesn't. Craig is a very humble, very gentle, very committed person, but in a way, is he really maintains his privacy and his he does not go around and brag and talking about what he does.
You know what kind of bothers me is knowing, you know, the inside on how all this stuff works. You know, watching, you know, what Craig has to go through, knowing what you have to go through that you don't share with people because, you know, I'm kind of in the middle of all this. Is the people out there that complain? You know, one of the things they complain about, well, Swiss America's prices are too high, and they don't understand the dynamics of the industry.
Well, they don't understand in the first place that to guarantee that their purchase is non-confiscatable and non-reportable, it must be charged 15% above the value of the gold in the coin.
And what, you know, what we look
at are the market price on that particular day.
And what they do is they say, oh, I can go get that same item from your competitor for this much. And like, okay, yeah, you can do that. Well, let's look at it this way. One of our competitors, these are those Nordic guys, well, they're bankrupt.
Oh, you mean the aliens?
Yeah.
In the UFO thing, there's this group of aliens called the Nordics.
That's the other guys, okay. You know, and I don't want to use names because I don't need to get, you know.
That's the racist carryover into the UFO phenomenon.
Now, these are those Nordic guys, and... well, they're bankrupt. If any of you have been waiting on delivery, well, stop holding your breath because you're just going to run out of air, okay? The other outfit, you know, it's interesting that both of our bigger competitors started by people working at Swiss America. Now, not that there's anything particularly wrong with that, but for years, all they did was snipe at us.
And they lie to people. They tell people that their purchases are non-confiscatable and non-reportable, and they tell them they're getting it for 2% over cost.
Yeah. Exactly.
And according to the law, that is confiscatable and it is reportable.
Not only that, but okay, so, all right.
In fact, it must be reported according to the law.
Exactly. So you've got the one company's going out of business and people are going to get stuck. They're not going to get their money back. They're not going to get their product, and that's all there is to it. Well, the other group, the guys that deal with the aliens a lot, they name themselves after a continent. Well, these people were in the news not too long ago, basically for ripping an old lady's head off. They lied to her. They hyped the sale. They told her she was going to see all these wonderful things and she could never lose. And then when she lost 30% because she had to turn things around quickly, all of a sudden, it's like, well, they called it administrative fees. So they, it's just, and you see this company, they're having their problems as well. And Swiss America just keeps on plugging along. And you may complain, you may do this, but it's real simple. You can deal with the best, or you can go broke like the rest. And because at some point in time, you want liquidity. I know your feelings on the subject matter. I'm going to be honest, my feelings are slightly different. I see what's going on with Wall Street. Wall Street's getting involved in this market. It's going to drive this market tremendously. There's going to be opportunity for people to take their high-quality material that they spent the big money on and turn into a whole bunch of low-end material that still is going to be protected status, but it'll be far more they can ever think of affording to buy right now.
Well, that's true, and that can happen, but it can only happen with people who... With a strong company, and it can only happen with people who have done their research and their studies and aren't just jumping in from point of ignorance and doing this thing. And that's where I rely on you guys to educate somebody who wants to make an investment in high-priced numismatic coins that have a possibility of making a tremendous increase on their investment.
And we know Wall Street's involved in this.
Yeah, but for the average person who knows absolutely nothing, I don't recommend that.
No,
and unless you guys can educate them or show them how to become educated, it's not wise for them to do that.
Exactly. I agree with you, and that's what Swiss America is all about. We take the time. We've got excellent educational material that we send out and to train people, to teach people so they can learn the truth and that they can do the right thing for their future. But again, what happens invariably is the fear factor kicks in, and they start thinking not team, but I, and as a consequence, they'll go and they'll shop or do whatever, and they'll go do business with a substandard company that's going to leave them in a lurch.
I'll tell you something else that's great about Swiss America Trading. Craig Smith and Frank Marzullo and all the people at Swiss America Trading know my stance on this subject that we just covered. They know what I think about it. Any other metals company or coin sales company would never sponsor this broadcast and wouldn't put up with me for 5 minutes once they heard me say that.
No, because, they would worry about the IRS coming in, and they worry about all the potential repercussions from the government for doing so, as Craig is facing now.
Yeah.
What really angers me a lot of times, and I do, I get very angry, people will call us, they listen to the broadcast, we give them the education, they buy from a competitor, they give the competitor the business, and then they complain.
Yeah, by the way, Craig has been subpoenaed to appear before the grand jury October 3rd and bring all his records on me. Because they, for some reason, believe that I've been getting some kind of profit from all of this. They don't know that that Craig is only paid for the airtime on the satellite and on the shortwave, and he has never sent me not one single penny of money. And that's, I just rejoice in all of this because I know how this is going to come out, and I know that they're going to have egg on their face because we're not rich people and we're not making a lot of money. We barely make it from month to month, and Craig has been, and Swiss America Trading has been our backbone and supporting factor for over 4 years, and...
The thing here is not to get so much, they're not concerned about the egg on their faces, they are just making you and Craig spend the time, the effort, and the money fighting all this.
Well, unfortunately, they're going to come out with the egg on their face because I've done my research and I have assembled a team that is the best in the nation. And the law that we've uncovered and that we've researched and that we're going to present against these people. You see, you don't go and the worst thing you can do is defend yourself. What you do is attack, and that's exactly what we're doing. We've already filed 2 suits against the Internal Revenue Service just within the last week. We will probably be filing several more suits. We will be filing individual suits against the individual personnel who are acting outside of their jurisdiction and outside of the law, unconstitutionally to persecute me and my family and Craig Smith and others. And we're going to take it to them. We're not going to wait for them to bring it to us. And you know, everybody just gets so terrified of these people. And I'm going to tell you something else. Even if we were to lose this battle, we're going to establish some important points of law. And even if I have to go to jail, it will be a good, gallant fight. And you know, I've made my my views and my position clear on this many times before. If everything is done lawfully, I will submit to whatever happens. If it is not done lawfully, I will oppose with everything in my power, including the force of arms, anyone who comes after any member of my family or any of my property, period. That anything that's done unlawfully, unconstitutionally, or under the color of law, I will oppose with everything within my power.
That's anything that's where done, I'm coming from too.
Yeah, anything that's done lawfully and within the law and constitutionally and above board, and you know, is presented properly, and if a jury of my peers actually believe that I've done something wrong, then I would submit to it. But other than that, no way.
Bill, it's been good. I do need to run. There's
where are you going to run to?
Well, actually,
there's no place to run to unless you can get to another planet. Read my lips. New World Order.
Yeah, well, I need to go home, and I'm...
Nah, don't lie to me. You need to go to the bathroom. That's
actually, I'm at some... they're looking at me like, need to use the phone.
You need to use the phone, and you need to use the bathroom, right?
Actually, I do need... I'm an early-to-bed kind of a guy. I was up at 5 o'clock running around the block. You know, get my exercise in. I tend to give up the ghost early in the evening.
Well, I don't blame you, to tell you the truth. And
a lot nicer for you having these earlier hours too.
Oh, it's wonderful. I can't tell you how nice it is to be able to broadcast starting at 7 o'clock. It's just, oh, that's just amazing. I mean, it is incredible. After 4 years of broadcasting so late and getting off the air so late and having to get up early in the morning and do whatever, you know, blah, 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 and spend time with my family and all of the things that I have to do because I love my family, this is just like heaven.
Yeah.
It really is.
All right. Well, it's been good talking to you this evening. I'll let you get on to that Wired article. I think that's going to be an interesting thing for people to hear about.
Well, I think it just might be. But you know what? I may not read this whole article. I may just read some...
excerpts.
Some excerpts and tell people to go buy the magazine.
There you go. Read the whole thing.
Because I don't want to get sued by Wired for violating their copyright, but it is an important article. It's from the horse's mouth. And anybody who reads this and calls this guy a Looney Tune is not playing with a full deck of cards. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome, Bill. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Good night. Wow. That was a good hour with Frank Marzullo from Swiss America Trading. And all of our time spent with Frank has always been good. Folks, make sure that you call Swiss America Trading. Make sure that you ask for the current newsletter or whatever Craig has out at the moment. Make sure that you thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. Don't be a coward. You know you got to get your hands on some real money. Don't be afraid to tell them your name and your address. They're not going to turn you into anybody. If they were going to, after 4 years, you would have heard about it by now. It doesn't happen. Everything is confidential, and your purchases from Swiss America Trading are non-reportable, non-confiscatable. They don't lie to you. They have a buyback policy. They have a guarantee. I guarantee what they do, and by golly, and I got to tell you the truth. If you're a miserable, no-account, scroungy little coward, you got no business even listening to this broadcast, much less calling Swiss America Trading. And I can't imagine why you would call them and not be willing to give your name and address so they can send you some material. Have you ever heard of caller ID, you dummies? I mean, if they really wanted to get you, all they got to do is have caller ID. Are you stupid or what? My God, where does this come from? I just can't believe some of the things that some of you people do. It escapes me. It's above and beyond anything that I'm capable of understanding. I cannot put it into a context that makes sense when you do these kinds of things. It is absolutely ridiculous. And more. Don't go away. I might be back. Wow, that ended quicker than I thought it would. But it doesn't matter, because coming up, we are going to have the network break, and then we'll come back into the hour of the time and do the second hour, and we'll take your calls, and I'll quote some of the specific interesting, and I'm not going to quote the most interesting or the most applicable quotes in this article, because I want you to go get it and read it for yourself, the whole article. The magazine is called Wired. It's about the computer world, cyberspace, the internet, the whole world of computers and computer people and people who deal with computers and work with computers. And it's an extremely intelligent, well-done magazine. And anybody who has anything to do with computers and wants to know where the state of the art of computers is going to go should be actually subscribing to Wired Magazine. And I don't mean to promote this magazine, folks. I just got to tell you, there's some things in this world that you have to read. And Foreign Affairs is one, or Foreign Policy, I should say. The publication of Council on Foreign Relations. Another one is Wired. You've got to read the Wall Street Journal. You should read the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times. And you can get all these if you have a computer. You can get them on the Internet. You don't have to actually subscribe to the paper and get all the tons of advertising and stuff that goes with it. But anyway, doesn't matter. You should be participating in the information revolution. I said this years ago, and I meant it. Information is the power of the 90s, not money. Information. And if you're lacking in information, you're doomed. You're down the tubes. You don't stand a chance in dealing with what's happening, or even understanding what's happening, or contending with it, or standing up to it. or agreeing with it, or anything else. It doesn't even matter which side you're on. If you don't have access to tremendous amounts of information, your history, and that's the truth. That's been one of the main thrusts of this broadcast, is to let you all understand that. The Voice of Freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Well, folks, welcome back to the Hour of the Time. I'm going to talk a little bit about this article here. First, I want you to know who this guy is, Walter Wriston, because I know most of you don't know anything about him. He's owned by the Rockefeller family. If you want to know about the future of money, according to this article, you talk to Walter Wriston, and I'm going to tell you that it's true. And I'm going to read you verbatim what it says about him. This is his bio, so listen carefully. Walter Wriston was there at the creation of the modern wired economy when money began turning itself into bits and bytes and started flowing around the world through satellite transponders and fiber optic cables. Wriston bet the bank on technology during his 17-year reign as chair and CEO of Citicorp, Citibank. Under Wriston, Citibank set out in the 1970s to wire its customers into automated, online, checkless, international users of financial supermarkets based on CATs and ATMs, that's automated teller machines. This thin branch of customers wired into a global network would be the engine of Citibank's financial growth. By the time Wriston retired in 1984, turning the bank over to John Reed, the wonder kind who had implemented much of Wriston's technological vision, Citibank was America's largest bank, and its investment in computer hardware and software was approaching $1.75 billion. That's just their investment in computer hardware and software. Wriston, who has served on the boards of several dozen companies ranging in size from Silicon Valley startups to General Electric, is the author of two books on money, and I recommend you read them both. The first is titled Risk, and Other Four-Letter Words, 1986, In the Twilight of Sovereignty, How the Information Revolution is Transforming Our World, 1992. So you got two books. One is Risk and Other Four-Letter Words, 1986. And the other one is The Twilight of Sovereignty, How the Information Revolution is Transforming Our World, 1992. The basis for wealth, he says, has evolved from land to labor to information. Isn't it incredible how all my predictions come true? You see, I said it years ago. Information. Information will be the wealth of the 90s, not money. And here he's saying it. He says the basis for wealth, and he says this today, this is not an old quote, this is new, he says this today. The basis for wealth, he says, has evolved from land to labor to information, making another one of my predictions come true. He says, and I quote, information about money has become almost as important as money itself, end quote. He said, a famous remark now inscribed in the lobby of New York's Library of Science, Industry, and Business. Can you believe that? Riston is the subject of a 1,000-page biography called Riston, Walter Riston, Citibank, and the Rise and Fall of American Financial Supremacy, published in 1995, which regards him as the kingpin of modern American finance. He says, quote, I'm too busy to read it, end quote. He says, quote, that's the past. I'm interested in the future, end quote. He says, the revolution that's waiting in the woods is smart cards. They issued 300,000 during the Olympics in Atlanta. It was the first mass use of smart cards in America. He calls it an electronic purse. It's basically a traveler's check that makes exact change. You can get a smart card from 7-Eleven for $50. They give you a card that goes in vending machines. When the card is debited down to zero, you just throw it away. The second kind of smart card, he says, is rechargeable. A third kind involves identification. It holds a computer chip with your DNA signature or a digital picture and information about your life. And he says this technology is on the verge of exploding. And when it does, people will think of smart cards as money in the same way they now think of traveler's checks as money. And I'm telling you, and this is from my mouth, William Cooper, I'm telling you that they will institute these smart cards. People will take them. They will use them. And eventually, they will card on some kind of a computer chip that will be injectable into the human body so that it cannot be stolen. And that will be the ultimate enslavement of humankind. Shackled to a computer in an endless system of debt, where if they want to imprison you, they don't need to build prisons. All they have to do is zero out your account everywhere that they don't want you to be able to go. And no one will help you, because if they do, the same thing will happen to them. In other words, just to get a drink of water, you will need to present your identification. And you will only be able to get a drink of water where your identification is good. To eat in a restaurant, you will have to present your smart card or your smart chip, which may be in your body. And if you can't, you can't eat. You can't rent a room. You see, they can confine you to one city block. They could actually confine you to just a few places of business, just enough to sustain you. If they really wanted to imprison you, if they wanted to kill you, They would zero out your account everywhere in the world. You would not be able to get a place to eat, sleep. You would not be able to drink water. You would not be able to get any shelter. No one would help you. No one would give you anything, because they knew if they got caught, the same thing would happen to them. That's what happens when you do away with cash. That is the ultimate enslavement. Where there is no cash, there is no paycheck. You work X number of hours and X number of credits are deposited to your computer account. When you go to the grocery store, you have X number of credits in your account, and that's all you can spend. If you are an excellent worker and everybody likes you and you have never said anything against the power that be, you may be able to get a loan and have additional credits deposited to your account, which you would pay off with a small portion of your work every day for the next few years. But other than that, you will be limited strictly to what you have earned. And you cannot spend above it. And there will be a provision, I'm sure, to where you cannot save it beyond a certain period of time. In other words, and this is basically what Friston is outlining in this article here, the system of total control. He doesn't say everything that I'm saying, but it's all there. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. For instance, you might be able to save up credits and not spend them for 10 years. After 10 years, you would lose them. Think I'm crazy? Read this article. Study where we're going, where we've been, what's happening today, the proposals on all fronts. Did you know that there is a magazine published specifically for companies that deal in identification smart cards, computer chip identification? Identification systems that can read the iris of your eye. Identification systems where you place your hand upon a screen and it reads your palm print and all your fingerprints. All of these are being developed, they're being tested, and the gullibility of the people and their willingness to accept them are being tested in places like the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas and at the Olympic Games in Atlanta, where everyone who attended any event had to pass their hand under a scanner. You have to do that when you go on any of the rides or entertainment facilities of the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas. And these things are appearing all over the country. And in many of the stores you go in, you will see that there is a scanner on a pedestal that's never used. No groceries are passed under it. Those are there for the smart cards and for the computer chip that will be inserted into the hand eventually. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, with some people in some places, it is already being done. Experiments are being conducted on welfare recipients who are being told that if they want to continue on welfare, they have to be a part of these experiments. And so on and so forth. Listen to this. What is the velocity of money? Walter Wriston answers, the number of times a dollar bill turns over in the course of a year. He's asked, is it a constant or does it increase over time? And his answer is, the money supply turns over on average about 3 times a year. While economists fail to predict the future, it's not because they don't know how much money has been created by the Federal Reserve Board and released through the banks. It's because they don't know what people are doing with it. When people feel threatened, they put their money in the bank and the velocity goes down. When they feel good about life, they buy everyone a beer and the velocity goes up. Question: how about the velocity of money in international finance? Answer: the velocity of this kind of money is increasing. The churn in the international markets is enormous. When I first entered the banking business, the entire foreign exchange market in New York was $50 million a day. Now it's $1 trillion a day. Question: you're credited with inventing the idea of the financial supermarket. What's the future of one-stop shopping for all your banking, insurance, and investment needs? Listen carefully. This is the answer. The real issue is who is going to run these financial supermarkets. Will it be something called a bank? Or will it be General Electric, Merrill Lynch, or Fannie Mae? All I can tell you is that the banking business used to have about 70% of the financial assets of the world. Now we have about 30%. Do you know any industry that went from 70 down to 30% of market share and survived? Question: but the market you're sharing is bigger. Answer: it's still an unanswered question if America heavily regulated banks can compete against huge corporations with massive cash flows. All I'm saying is that the share of financial assets administered by banks is shrinking every day, while the share administered by the General Electrics of this world is growing. Small town bankers worried for years that Citibank would steal their business, but in the end, it was stolen by Merrill Lynch. Are you listening carefully? Question: how did Merrill Lynch steal their business? Answer: Don Regan, when he was running Merrill Lynch, changed the world, which doesn't happen very often. He invented the cash management account. The CMA consolidated checking, savings, investments, and borrowing all in one account, which is invested in a money market fund. The last time I looked, Merrill Lynch's assets under management were four times the size of the largest bank in the world. While everyone in the government was worrying about bank monopolies, these guys were eating our lunch. If we hadn't come up with something similar, the banks would have been dead. Question: besides smart cards, what other changes are in store for money? Answer: there's a lot of talk these days about electronic money. One strategy for making it work involves securing electronic cash with government bonds held in depository. This is a back-to-the-future idea that reminds me of what the United States government did in 1863. It passed the National Bank Act, which said that all dollar bills had to be backed 90% by government bonds. And remember, this was during the Civil War. The banks had to buy the bonds to issue the dollars that financed the Civil War. It was very clever. This could happen again with e-cash issued by 7-Eleven or DigiCash or Merrill Lynch. Wow. What do you think about that, folks? I mean, I could go on. This is a long interview, but I'm not. I'm going to go to the phones. 520-333-4578 is the number. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
This is Richard in California.
Hi, Richard. What do you think about what you just heard?
Well, I think you're about right on. I just wanted to mention to you...
it's not me. That was Walter Wriston talking.
Well, I understand that, but what you repeated there, I tend to believe and concur with. What I wanted to point out was, for just general information, talking about the hand readers and all that stuff.
I,
up until, a year or so ago, worked at a nuclear power plant in Central California. There's only one nuclear power plant that could qualify geographically as being in Central California, I think, And they have hand readers. They put those in about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And just shortly before I left, and I left because the job ran out. You know, downsizing. You know, they were downsizing to save money. It's Pacific Gas and Electric Company, very large power utility here in California.
Uh-huh.
They, I understand from all the sources that I had within the company that their total cash flow payroll amounted to about 5% of their operating costs, which is not much.
No, it's not. That's very good.
But they have a tremendous, huge cash flow. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. You know, $1 million to them is like a penny to you or I.
Well, that's a fact. I used to live in California, and I know that PG&E furnishes electricity for most of the state. So.
Oh, by the whole northern half of the state.
Yeah, so their cash flow has to be tremendous.
Well,
but still,
5%. They're going to save money and cut their cost of power production like on the order of 30 or 40% by laying off people. Now, I'm sorry, I'm not a real good mathematician, but I think I can figure out that if only 5% of your operating cost is payroll, if everybody worked for nothing, you couldn't save more than 5%. Isn't that about right?
Well, you're absolutely correct. But that just, you see, most people never question those things. Most people fall for whatever they tell them because they just don't even, well, never mind. I'm not going to get into them.
But anywhere you go in that power plant, they have hand readers at the, I shouldn't say anywhere, but at the, what they call security, where you go through the search train.
Uh-huh.
Every package you carry in, including your hat, your lunch, all of the food that comes into the cafeteria from the vendor trucks, you know, when the semi drives up in front with a truckload of milk.
Yeah.
It goes through the x-ray machine just like they have in the airports, you know.
Speaking about packages, what do you think is going to happen at Christmas when everybody who sends a package that's over 1 pound has to report with that package to the post office?
Oh, man.
What's going to happen? You're going to see lines 5 blocks long waiting to send a package to the post office. And I think what you're going to happen is UPS is going to do a booming business, and the post office is going to go out of business.
Well, a word for, I was at the UPS office about 6 months ago to ship a package, and there was a lady in front of me. In fact, it wasn't 6 months ago. It was last Christmas. She had box that she was shipping to some relatives back east. And, you know, bearing in mind, I'm here in California, the wine capital of the United States almost.
Yeah.
And the lady at the UPS counter asked her what was in the box, and she said it's a bottle of wine. And she says, oh, we can't ship that. Can't ship wine across state lines.
Well, that's true.
And so...
But, you know, that was her fault for answering that question.
She didn't. Yeah, she didn't have to answer the question. And
she didn't have to answer the question. And they have no right to really ask it. They can.
It could be a bottle of holy water.
Well, it could be anything.
You know.
But, you know, that's up to you whether you want to answer that question. But it is against the law to send alcoholic beverages across state lines without paying taxes. And, you know, that's.
And apparently UPS just won't even get involved in that. They just won't take it. And except, I think she mentioned that there was a handful of like 5 or 6 states that they would ship it to, and the one she wanted to send it to, they, you know, which is 90% of the states, wouldn't take them.
Well, if those are the laws in those states, you have to respect that.
Well, yeah. But anyhow, it's just another piece of information, you know, another law, another thing you can't do.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the reason for the call is to point out that we have the hand readers in place at the nuke plant, and they are, when you gain access to the general plant, when you get into what they call the secure area, or they call it the power block, sort of, there's a little difference, but it's not worth discussing. But the hand readers are there, and all the folks are used to use them, and I use them, you know, but they assured me that they didn't x-ray your hand. I said, now, if I put my hand in there and I get x-rayed 1,000 times a day, once a day, you know,
No, it's not an x-ray.
It only measures the profile of your hand.
Yeah, it just reads it's like a scanner, and it reads the profile of your hand, and it matches it against a stored sample that's in their database, and if it doesn't match, you're rejected.
You put your hand in three times when you initially get signed up on the thing. You know, when they log you in, you put your hand in there three times, and I guess it averages it.
Yeah.
And
that's so that there's less margin for error, and you don't get rejected.
But anyway, the hand readers are slowly but surely appearing, and they are in the workplace.
Yep.
All right, Bill.
Thank you.
See ya.
520-333-4578 is the number. What do you think about what you just heard? Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Sean from St. Louis.
Hi, Sean.
I wonder if you remember an article I sent you in all your mail. A few months ago, just across the river from us here, they did a big article in the newspaper and on TV about the Illinois Welfare Department is instituting and using completely 100% of the time these little readers for reading your iris for everybody that goes to pick up their welfare check.
Yes, I do remember that, as a matter of fact.
And there's a lot of people out there, you know, yeah, you hear about it, but you think, eh.
They do the experiments on people who cannot say no.
Yeah.
Or won't say no.
Well, I wouldn't consider it much of an experiment when they go something that wide scale.
Well, it is an experiment because it's not across the country, and as wide a scale as you may think it is, it's really not. It's a very small segment of the population. But nevertheless, if they're willing to submit to it and it works, you can see that these things are eventually going to be used on the whole population, and that's the purpose of the experimentation, is find out what works best, where and how to implement it and how to make it work the best.
Saying if you want a welfare check, you got to go through this.
Yep, that's right.
He's going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I had tonight.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Don't you just love that music? I do. I think that's inspiring. It just makes you feel good. It's great. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air. Nobody there. Chicken plucker. Okay, we'll try it again. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. This is Dan in Texas.
Hi, Dan.
Interesting, too. I just got a little propaganda sheet today from my company, the Postal Service. They have a thing here, orbiting satellites track postal vehicles.
Orbiting satellites track postal vehicles?
Yeah, that's what they're calling the Global Positioning System for Delivery. They're going to test them over in Arlington.
Oh, they've been doing that with trucks for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Automatic vehicle identification, and they have the global positioning system so that the company can tell where the trucks are all the time, and so can law enforcement and anybody else who wants to know.
Right. That's the thing here. They're going to have these things there. They're telling them that...
How did the world ever survive up to this point with all of these, without all of these things?
Yeah. Well, they're saying here it gives better service to track the fleet and offer safety improvements is what they're telling them.
I'd rather have no service.
Yeah.
Than that kind of better service.
Well, and obviously to the carrier out there, they're going to know where he is every second. They're going to know when he stopped.
Yeah, and the poor trucker gets really tired. I mean, he can't even take 5 extra minutes to take a break.
Right. Or also if he speeds a little bit, they know that right away. They can
tickets,
so.
And more tickets and more truckers thrown in jail and all kinds of stuff.
It's, yeah.
It's incredible. No wonder they're building so many more prisons.
Yeah.
We're building more prisons in this country, ladies and gentlemen, than we are houses, dollar for dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all you get the prison industry in that. They're basically getting out of that, too, because a lot of them are under contract to Wack and Hut and other companies.
Yeah.
They're producing the cheap goods and sending it out. But that thing, too, I was seeing here on the boot tube. I got on a different channel. I'll listen to you. And I just noticed, too, like they get these MasterCard commercials even right now. And when they get done, up at the top, they're saying MasterCard is smart money. Not yet, but it's getting you used to that.
Smart money, smart card,
right.
One world, one card.
Yeah, the changeover there was ready to be used to seeing that smart thing in the sentence there. So, but guys, like Colin, since you're talking to us tonight, let you know that I just got that in the mail. I thought that was kind of cute. So.
Yeah. Why don't we just hang it all up and just go, you know, back out to the desert?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I know. Well, this answers the question, too. Some people have asked me, well, can they really track you if you buy one of these little global position things like the Magellans and whatever? And obviously they can because that's what they're doing right here. It's sending a signal back the other direction.
Well, it appears that way, doesn't it?
It seems to. I've heard various people say that are in areas that I think they know what they're talking about.
Well, I got to tell you the truth. I don't know if it does or not, but I do know that some strange things have happened with people who have these global positioning system little handheld devices.
Right.
There was, in fact, a couple of hikers who got lost.
Yeah.
Who had one of these GPS systems.
Right.
And I don't know why they got lost because they had it. The rescuers went right straight to them from a satellite signal.
Yeah.
Now, you explain that to me.
Right. Well, it mentions it.
I mean, this was in the newspaper.
Yeah. This one mentions, at least with the ones they're using, that they can send an emergency signal out if they need to summon help.
Uh-huh.
Well, obviously, these can now. And that doesn't, of course, say that every particular one, but I've heard rumors to that effect. I know they can definitely pick up that weak of a signal if they want to.
Yeah.
So.
You know, when they first put up satellites that could do different things, like, you know, photograph the Earth or scan the Earth with infrared and all these kind of different things, X-rays and all of these different things, what they discovered is they could tell exactly what kind of vegetation and trees and crops were being grown. And so many years later, when they came out with this experiment where they asked college students to go out into the woods so that the satellites could come over, and what they wanted the college students to do was to tell them what kind of trees were there.
Yeah.
And because of this, we knew that they weren't trying to detect what kind of trees were there. They were trying to see if they could spot the college students in the trees from satellites because they already knew how to determine what trees were growing anywhere in the Earth from satellites. That had been done many years before. So to send college students out into the woods to tell them what kind of trees were growing wherever they were at was a dead giveaway. They think we're so stupid, I just can't figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll keep doing it too. So, okay, just let it tell them, let's know that.
Okay, Dan.
Okay.
Kiss everybody hello for me.
Okay, you do the same. Annie, Allison, Sue.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 520-333-4578 is the number. What do you think about what you heard tonight? What do you think about where money's going? What do you think about cyber cash? What do you think about, you know, there's no evidence of anything. I mean, if there's no evidence, they can create as much money as they want. They can loan as much as they want. They can foreclose as much as they want. They can steal as much as they want. Don't you understand that, folks? With no cash, there's no proof. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Charles.
Hi, Charles.
Guess what George is going to do when you go to get your driver's license?
What are they going to do?
They're going to fingerprint you right there on the spot.
All fingers?
No, just the index fingers.
Index finger, okay. Both?
Driver's license.
Both index fingers or just one?
I believe it's both of them, but...
Well, it doesn't matter. It's an extreme invasion of privacy to do even one.
Well, I hate to spread a rumor like that, but it was in the Macon paper, so I guess it's probably true.
Well, they're doing it in other places also. You know, in a lot of places, to cash a check now in a bank, you have to give your thumbprint.
Well, as long as I'm pursuing rumors, have you heard about these devices in cars that will cut off the motor by satellite?
I have heard that as a rumor. No one has proven it to me. I can find no substance for it or no substantiation for it. I do know that we have found some receivers with an antenna under the dashes of some of the new automobiles and trucks. We don't know exactly what it's for. We think that they're receivers. They could be transmitters. We haven't. Really, we're in the process of testing that out. We believe that they're transmitters.
Well,
if they're transmitters, then it's telling somebody where you're at.
Yeah, I don't see how they can keep up with everybody, but I guess with computers, they can do a pretty good job of it.
Well, they can. It's like the NSA, the National Security Agency, which monitors every broadcast and every electronic transmission and everything in the world that's electronic oriented. We call it SIGINT. Signals intelligence, they have been throughout history since their inception the largest consumer in the entire world of magnetic recording tape. Now, they don't have enough personnel working for them to ever listen to even one millionth of what they record. So what's it for? Why did they even record all of that if nobody can ever possibly listen to it in ever at all?
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm asking an honest question. If I knew, I certainly wouldn't ask the question. I'd be telling you the answer.
Well, I know these guys have us outgunned on high tech, but if the janitor had a simple board with a nail in it, he could wreck a hard drive, I'm sure. Or maybe...
Oh, anybody with a magnet can wreck a hard drive. All you need is a big magnet.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it would be all that tough if people were really tired of computers spying on them. If our whole society became sick of it.
You know what makes me sick? You know what makes me sick? When I go to a Radio Shack and I buy a 50-cent battery.
And they want to know your address.
And I walk up to the counter, and the guy behind the counter is making $5 an hour, if he's making that. And he punches on his keyboard, and then he looks at me, and he says, "What's the last 4 digits of your Social Security number?" And I say, "It's none of your business." And then this little $5 an hour puke clerk gets snotty with me. And I'm patronizing his store and buying something. I'm paying cash for it, and he wants to get snotty with me because I'm not going to give him the last 4 digits of any Social Security number or my last name or my address or my phone number or anything else. And by the time I'm done with the little puke, he is thoroughly relegated to a puddle of his own urine on the floor.
If that happens often enough, maybe they'll stop.
Well, maybe they will, but more people have to start doing what I do. I read them the Riot Act, and I'm not polite at all. It's none of their business, period.
I think you're right.
And their snotty attitude it just adds fuel to the fire. You know, if I said it's none of your business, and they were polite and said, you're right, sir, it's really not any of our business, and took my 50 cents and gave me my battery, that would be fine. But when they get this snotty and say, well, this is company policy, and you've got to give us this information, I don't have to give you anything. All I have to give you is 50 cents, and if I give you that 50 cents and you accept it, you've got to give me that battery. What do you think about that, Mr. $5 an hour clerk?
That's fair enough.
And I don't mean to be rude to people who make $5 an hour, but people who make $5 an hour shouldn't be snotty to people who are paying their salary. And, you know, that's the way I look at it. You're just doing a job. What in the world do you think you're doing when you do these kinds of things? That's just incredible to me. How Americans are helping destroy this country thinking that they're doing the right thing. It just blows my mind that they haven't got the common sense to know that they're just a bunch of petty little assholes, and that's the truth.
Well, they have to have the courage to stand up to people like David and Goliath.
Yeah, that's true.
How many stones David had to kill Goliath?
Well, I don't remember the story correctly, but I know he threw just one.
He had one in the sling and two in the pouch.
Yep, no, that sounds familiar.
All right.
But I got to tell you honestly, I don't really remember.
Well, that was a joke.
Oh, it was.
Pouch.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay. Take care. Yeah, I guess that was a joke. You got me. You got me there. So, but that was a pretty good one, I think. 520-333-4543. You know, it just amazes me that so many people get upset by this talk, but they listen to other people who substitute words. You know, if somebody says cojones, that's okay. But if you say balls, it's not. You know, that's just hypocritical bullshit. That is just nothing but hypocritical bullshit. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Yeah, this high-tech tracking systems that they have out nowadays are a real pain in the butt. Where I work is Frigidaire, and they have an employee card with a code on the back, laser code on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to run this through a laser reader, barcode on the back, excuse me. You have to run it through a laser reader, and then, of course, it clocks you in and clocks you out. And they're not worth a darn. I tell you, the readers only work half the time. And
so do the employees.
Yeah. Most of them.
Yeah.
But you know what they say, you know, the more they overdo the plumbing, the easier it is to plug it up. And the more sophisticated they make these systems, the easier the solution will be to knock them out.
That's the truth. But we don't want to talk about that too much in public.
Yeah. That's
we want them to have their little delusion of superiority.
Yeah, why they still have it.
Yeah, we want them to think that, you know, CB radios are worthless.
Mm-hmm. Say, I'm going through the same thing you are with the IRS.
Really?
Yeah, boy, they've sent subpoenas to just about everybody I know.
Uh-huh.
Had them come in, bring all their checks.
Yeah.
They want to know if I've written them any checks, they've written me any checks.
Yeah, that's what they're doing with me. Same
thing. Yeah.
And these poor little silly wimps around the country are just, oh, yes, I'll be glad to furnish you all this information.
Well, and unfortunately, I know just about everybody that I've written checks to or they've contacted. They've gotten a hold of me. So just about everybody is going to challenge their jurisdiction and ask them for warrants.
Oh, well, that I haven't heard that from anybody yet. Everybody is just buckling in. You know, and they're all listeners the hour at a time for years. Been listening to all the education, all the information I've given them, all of the risks that I've taken, everything, and they're just turning belly up. And I got to tell you something. It's making me really sick. Remember John, the guy who invented the long-range rifle? Well, I'm going to tell you folks that his real name is Scott Selby. S. Scott Selby. He lives in Sholo, Arizona. He's a gunsmith. Well, they went to Scott, and you see all those years I tried to protect him?
Yeah.
Like saying he's John on the air? They went to him, said, you know, he had checks written to you, and we want to have those checks, and we want to know if he ever wrote any, you know, you ever wrote any checks to him and all this kind of stuff. And he just turned belly up instantly, gave him everything. And then old Scott, the guy that I had as a guest on this show, the guy that I did so much to protect his identity and everything, and I'm not doing it tonight, started telling all of the militia members and the other people in the White Mountains here to stay away from me. Can you imagine this?
Like, that's really going to help.
And this is supposed to be a brave militia leader.
Yeah.
A guy that invented the long-range rifle to oppose the oppression that we know that's coming.
Sure. I guess everybody figures if they hide long enough, they'll be the last one standing. So when the war actually breaks out...
Oh, nobody even shot at him. All they did was come and ask about somebody that he knew, and he turned a belly up, turned a chicken, turned into a quivering bowl of jelly, and that's what he is now.
Yeah. A lot of people ask me, you know...
And I'll go into court and fight the battle. With all the research and all the things that I've done and other people have done, and with the great team that I've assembled, and with the brilliance of Lowell Beecraft, and if we win, he's going to benefit. And that really pisses me off. That really makes me angry that he's going to benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad nobody's willing to risk it. But what do you think they're trying to gain by getting these checks?
Oh, they just want to prove income. But I don't have an income, you see.
That's true.
Income under the law is windfall profits or profits from offshore oil wells or the money that comes in from banking and insurance companies, which are defined as governments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't belong to any of those categories.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll have to let me know how you do on it.
Oh, I'll let everybody know. I'll broadcast the whole thing, and I'm going to tell you something else. The IRS is going to wish they never even heard my name by the time I get through sharing all the research and the things that we have done that we know about the Internal Revenue Service that we've never talked about and never published. The only thing that I regret about that is all the chicken shit, coward, turncoat little worms out there are going to benefit from it, and they shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
They shouldn't.
It's real hard. Sometimes you see people that you think are behind you, and something like this happens, and they just break down in tears.
Yeah, they're cowards.
Yeah.
They're worthless, miserable little cowards.
It's.
And unfortunately, that defines most people.
Yeah.
Most people.
But when people aren't willing to study... When something like that happens, all they have is their fear.
Yeah.
You know, people gotta sit down and they gotta study the books.
Mm-hmm. But
it
doesn't matter what they study if they're afraid.
Sure, sure.
See, if they're afraid, they're already enslaved and will be enslaved as long as they continue to be afraid. And as long as they continue to be afraid, they will turn coat and betray their fellows and their friends and their neighbors. Because they're afraid. And they will never stand up for themselves because they're afraid, no matter how much they know. Even if they know and they're sure absolutely that they're right and that they have all the facts and could win, they will still lose because they won't even stand up and fight because they're afraid.
Yeah, well, I'm going to fight it.
Good for you. If I
didn't tell them I'm sitting in a jail cell wondering what the hell went wrong.
Well, you write me a letter and remind me who you are on the air here, and I'll send you some ammunition.
Okay, great.
I'll help the ones with guts. I will not help the wimps who don't have the guts. I just won't do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great.
I've been betrayed so many times that I have no sympathy for the cowards of this world. None whatsoever. They deserve what they get. And they're going to get what they deserve.
Well, that should be a big lesson to everybody. Use cash. Don't use checks anymore.
Well, unfortunately, they've just about made it impossible for you to do that.
Yeah, they have.
and I won't bow down to their thing. You know, it doesn't matter whether you use cash or checks. You don't have to file or pay income tax. That's the truth.
Yep, that's absolutely right.
And that's the law.
So I kind of figured that they're going after the people that they think are talking about it and are showing some leadership.
Well, they're going to try. You see, they think we're so stupid. They really don't understand how well prepared we are. But they're going to try, because if they can topple some of us who are leaders, then that ensures that the wimp, coward, sheeple will never oppose them.
Yeah, I can just imagine it now. Boy, what was that loud noise? Turned around, there's nobody there.
Yep, you got it. Okay, thank you for calling.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bill.
And don't forget to write me that letter so I can help you out.
Okay, I will. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
520-333-4578 is the number. Oh, yes, I could talk a long time about people and their lies and their insincerity and their cowardice. Oh, yes, I could really, really tell you some tales about how Annie and I have been betrayed over the years. Over and over and over and over and over again. And how we've never stopped fighting the battle. And all of those who betray us benefit from our fight. And it never fails to thoroughly piss me off. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Al from Westwood.
Hi, Al.
I've got a question.
Sure.
I'm not an attorney or anything like that, but do you need any financial help? Can we send in a contribution?
Well, I don't know yet. I'll let you know. Being as if I win, it's going to benefit everybody, and even if I lose, we're going to make some points of law that are going to benefit everybody. I may do that. If I were going in for some criminal act or something that would not benefit anybody, I would not accept any legal defense or whatever. But being as whether we win or lose, we're going to establish points of law that are going to benefit everybody in this country, I just may accept donations for a defense fund that would be payable directly to the defense team, not to me, because I don't want to make any money from anybody. But we'll see about that. I got to talk to Mr. Beecraft and the other members of my team, and we'll see what we need to do, and I'll let you know.
Okay, good, because at least there's something I can do.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I haven't been listening very long. I just got turned on here about a few months ago. Probably just a little over a month.
Uh-huh.
Trying to find you on the satellite, and I finally found you.
Well, good.
Hopefully I get that information, because we're going to be hopefully transmitting, if I can get some help around here.
Fantastic.
And there is a possibility of one of my friends that we can shoot up to a mountain, and then the cable TV picks up. They've got a large antenna, and then we could cover a large area.
Great. That's wonderful.
Hopefully. And let us know about the financial help, okay?
Okay. Will do.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you. 520-333-4578. You see, there's no cowards here, folks. If there were cowards here, as soon as we found out about the criminal investigation that was going on, I told you about it a long time ago, we would have run for the hills, or we would have gone to a foreign country. But no, we're here. We're continuing our research. We're going to fight them tooth and nail. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening again. From the mouth of a 19...
Again?
Is that allowed?
Oh, you were already on earlier tonight?
Yeah.
It's not encouraged, but go ahead.
Well, from the mouth of a Cadillac rep from a factory, the 97 Cadillac, top of the line, is going to have a satellite system link on it where you can call in, and also if the car is stolen, they can track it and shut the engine off and lock the doors, and if you lock your keys out, they can unlock the doors. So.
Really?
Yep.
But that's being done by the Cadillac company, right?
Yeah.
As a service for the people who buy the Cadillacs. And those poor people are going to buy into that. Oh, it's a service for me. They can open my door. They can start the engine. They can shut, they can do all this stuff. They can tell where I'm at. They can tell where my car's at. And oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah, the guy said, you know, if you lose it in a parking lot, call us and we can tell you where it is.
I'd rather have my car stolen and never find it than have that kind of stuff in my car.
Well, so would I. I mean, I drive something that doesn't even have electronic ignition, so... I mean,
everybody out there should go and read the 4th article in amendment to the Constitution again.
Mm-hmm. And about the injectable chip, first thing that came to mind when you said that was... Boy, that just means robbery is going to be life-threatening.
Yeah, if they could get your chip and put it in their hand and take theirs out, it would require some surgery. But yeah, and I expect that somebody will do that.
No matter what they come up with, somebody will get around it.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Thank you for calling. Well, folks, that's it for tonight. I can't take any more. I'm really thoroughly wrapped up. I think this has been a good broadcast. I enjoyed it. And God bless you, each and every single one of you. And good night.
This is the voice of freedom. Have been listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. I'd like to remind you that the following broadcast is not a part of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, is not associated with or approved of by the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, William Cooper, or the Hour of the Time.